This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN. On a Friday, I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
Don't throw a shoe. It's not the right thing to do.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I'm talking about the yo-yos who set themselves on fire and bathe in pork and beans. Love it.
Can you give me the context again?
You know, the Bills fans get so sensitive whenever I talk about their team. I wasn't talking about the fans in general. I was talking about...
Specifically, you were talking about these fans. Go ahead, Arthur.
Right. You know them. You've seen them.
I'm
talking about the yo-yos who set themselves on fire and bathe in pork and beans.
It's just so good isolated. And since it's RJ's last day, and, you know, RJ may have not invented the drop playing a big role in the show. A former producer, Jeff Candelmo, sort of was the beginning of it. RJ is that innovator who took it to the next level.
Yeah.
So since it's RJ's last day, RJ, I'd love to have a few more good nights where you maybe play us some of your favorite drops from over the last couple of years that you've collected. As we say, for the final time, and oddly the first time, and the last time, good evening to RJ.
There's a bird now, loose. There's a bird loose in the mall.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Tay Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, because everybody...
So they had me change my name to David Andrews.
Fix that!
Pythagorean theorem, Thad.
Let's go with Don! Sid Luckman! I hope he doesn't play.
Yeah!
I just feel like doing a thirst trap. You're an idiot, your sister smells, and she's ugly.
Jesus. Never had fish, never had an egg.
Hate everything about barbecue sauce.
We called it the Oscar Gamble.
That's funny.
How could RJ he ever say that I don't support him when I threw that lifeline out to him?
I know. I didn't. I sat there and let him stew when he made that joke. The pride he has in his voice when he says they called it the Oscar Gamble.
He was expecting just us to be like fall down laughing.
Like, oh, Michael, did you say Oscar Gamble? And instead, let's hear it again.
We called it the Oscar Gamble.
That's funny.
You know, if you listen real close.
I know. I've said this before, Don.
He's stifling a laugh.
Oh, yeah. He's holding back. Like, he takes in a breath.
Like, he couldn't contain himself. He thought it was so funny.
We called it the Oscar Gamble.
That's funny.
Yeah, you're such a good friend. You're such a good friend.
He's my friend.
And really, he's like in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and I threw him a lifesaver, like the candy, not an actual lifesaver.
By the way, ENN tonight, I should not forget this, is sponsored by our friends, the WPT Online Borgata Series, powered by Party Poker US Network. Yeah, I was just complaining about Michael off the air to Andrew. In a funny way, I was just saying, it's an interesting character he plays. This mix of both being the heel of the show, but then also turns around and wants sympathy and wants everyone to say, why don't you say you love me more? It's nearly impossible.
Every time I'm off, Peter, for 20 years, Don's been suspended. You know, we don't know where Don is. He had a stuffed animal on a chair for 4 hours.
Don, anytime someone calls up and badmouths me, a total stranger, what does he say?
That he made salient points.
I hate you.
Right. What about that, for example? Now, RJ, since it is your last day on the program. Do you have any of the songs you've created over the years? By any chance? Like, there was My Name is Zach Britton. There was my personal favorite, the Never Had a Fish, Never Had an Egg song. Mm-hmm.
My rap song, which I haven't heard in years.
Oh, what was your rap song again?
Where he edited down, actually, he didn't have to edit, just took like a clip of a play-by-play where I had a bunch of names that rhymed, And oh, he put it to music. Remember that? I don't know if you can even find that anymore. I haven't heard that in like 3 years.
Listen, RJ has everything stored away. Truck. Here we go.
That's a hot beat. Never had fish, never had an egg. Never had fish, never had an egg. Who never had fish, never had an egg. Never had fish, never had an egg. Who knew? See?
It's a great song. You got any others, RJ? Is that it? I don't want to put too much pressure
really
on
good.
You.
I'd love to hear my rap. And I think Dave's even in the rap, too.
Really? Oh. Here's another one. I forgot about this.
Ekman Larson to Stone. Stone brings it into the zone, leaves it for Dome. Cross ice pass, nobody home. Larson at the far boards, over to Stone.
Yeah! No!
Yeah!
No!
Yeah!
No!
Yeah!
No!
Ekman Larson to Stone. Stone brings it into the zone, leaves it for Dome. Cross ice pass, nobody home. Larson at the far boards, over to Stone.
Yeah! No!
Yeah!
No!
Yeah!
No!
Yeah!
No!
Oh, RJ, we love you. He's going to be missed. He's a difference maker.
He really is. I love him.
Another difference maker has been Alex Smith for Washington football. Some would say that over this most recent stretch, he's been the best quarterback in the NFC East. In fact, probably tough to argue otherwise. Well, Washington will be without Alex Smith. Of course, he missed the second half of last week's game against San Francisco with a calf strain. Well, he wanted to practice today. It did not happen. He will miss the game. Dwayne Haskins will be at the helm for Washington in this critical, critical game for my guys against Seattle in Washington. So good news for Giants fans. Of course, Daniel Jones questionable. He's listed as questionable for this weekend, according to our own Jordan Ronan sentence. That questionable's probably a little closer to a doubtful for Daniel Jones. So it will be an interesting weekend, Don, and a very interesting slate of games when it comes to the NFC East. Cowboys still technically alive. They have a very winnable game, at least in my opinion, as I just picked them. And the Eagles, they have a tough out against Arizona, but they are back in play as well. So a lot of NFC East football, Don, to keep an eye on this Sunday.
Yeah, and listen, is it possible that Philadelphia can beat Arizona? Everybody's high on Hurts and the game that he had, although he only threw for 160 yards, but he did a lot of damage with his legs. And then at Dallas, home for Washington. So I guess Philadelphia is still very much alive, especially if the Giants and Washington were to lose. Because, again, with that tie, you know, they would have that tiebreaker, right? If they get to six, that means that everybody else has to win seven. If they get to seven, everybody else is going to have to win eight. That's just the way it's going to work out. I don't know if they can do it, but clearly they've got a shot if they beat Arizona to beat Dallas and at least set up what could be a win-and-in scenario against Washington in Week 17.
So, speaking of quarterback injuries, Drew Brees is back. If you've been wondering about that big showdown this Sunday between the Saints and the Chiefs, Brees will give it a go. He's missed New Orleans' last four games. Of course, they've won all of them. They won the first three until they lost to Andrew's Eagles last week.
That's right.
He's been playing with fractured ribs and a collapsed lung. That's what he was dealing with before he was out. Now he's had a month to rest. And Taysom Hill, good job, 3-1. Jameis Winston will be the number two behind Brees, and Taysom Hill will return to sort of his Swiss Army knife role, according to Adam Schefter.
Now, what's interesting, and Mike Greenberg brought this up, and it's so brilliant. According to the NFL rules, the only place you can hit Brees is in his ribs. Like, can't hit him low, can't hit him high, right? So the only place you can legally hit him is the worst place right now he can get hit. With all the injuries that he has to his ribs, so
that's a tough one to come back from. It really is. It's a good point, Don.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, I know we've been waiting to mention this basically all day.
All day.
Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly said that the Fighting Irish might not be interested in the college football playoffs or a bowl game if families cannot attend. Let's hear from Brian Kelly.
I'm not sure we'll play in the playoffs if parents can't be there, to be honest with you. Why would we play if you can't have the families at the game? A bowl game? Yeah, we would opt out. If you can't have families at bowl games, I mean, why would you go to a game where your families can't be part of it? What's the sense of playing a game in an area of the country where nobody can be part of it?
I'll let you go, Don. I just want to say, what God's name are you talking about,
it's
sir?
It's such a weird take. Like, you're not going to play because the parents wouldn't be able to go to the game? So, like, it would be an option, like, if your dad had to work, or you know, then he would be happy with them canceling the game because he can go see it?
So how would he feel about what the NBA bubble just was?
Right. So you don't do it. Now, I understand these are kids. It's funny how they're conveniently kids, you know, when you're trying to get something done, but yet you can still make millions of dollars off of them, and all of a sudden they're not kids.
Yeah, right? Yeah. They're not accused of breaking child labor laws, but now they're right. Children. They need their parents. Mommy and daddy have to be there.
They're darn close. Hey, listen, one of the proudest moments of my life is the relationship I had with my father, and he wanted to go to every baseball game that I played. And in my senior yearbook, there's a picture of like the team gathered around, like having a conversation, and you see my dad in the picture. Like, he went to every game that he could. He just loved watching me play. Do you think my dad would, like, if he couldn't make it because of work, would say, Dad, I'm not going to play because you're not going to be there? He'd flip out on me. When he was in the hospital and I missed baseball practice because he was in the hospital, he got mad at me. Like, it just sounds to me, and this is. I like Brian Kelly. This seems to me like he knows they're moving that game. And this is like a grandstanding thing. They're going to move that game.
If that's a real take, Don, that's not like politically motivated, it's the weirdest take. Why play a game if parents can't be there? Well, how about this? You've played an entire season. You know that you guys have spread. College football has already spread COVID. Let's be real, guys. There are probably people who have died because you had to play college football this season, right? People died, I'm sure. When you see the 10,000 people who have been at this game and that game, people rushing the field, there is no doubt in my mind that from those experiences, at some point, someone who didn't know because they were asymptomatic gave it to someone else whose family member ended up dying because you guys had to play. So my question is, when you say, why would you play if families can't be there? I'll throw the question to you, Brian Kelly. Why did you play all year?
Yeah.
What was the point of this entire season, which put so many people at risk, and now you throw it all away because parents can't watch their kids in person? They can watch them on TV? I'm so lost.
But because I don't think Brian Kelly's a bad guy. I just think that he knows that game is going to get moved. Now, contractually, they have to play at the Rose Bowl. But obviously everything's out the window when there's not going to be 100,000 people there. And I would think the NCAA is going to fight to get that game played somewhere where fans could be allowed in the building so they can make whatever money they can make off that game. Why would you play the game when literally nobody is going to be allowed to be there when you could find a place, you know, somewhere anywhere else that doesn't have that band where you can get like 25% people? They can move the game into Jerry World and get 30,000 people in the building. They're not going to do that. Of course they're going to. They're going to find some place to play it. He knows that, and he's trying to show support to his players who are probably not really looking forward to playing the game of their lives at the Rose Bowl without their parents being present. But to make it to where now you're not going to play the game, you're going to throw away a chance at a national championship over it? It seems
odd to take that stand with all the sacrifices your players made to get into that game. And as you said, in most of them, their parents weren't allowed to go anyway.
Were the bowl games that much more important?
And you said it too. How many parents are going to be able to go to the game anyway? You think they're going to want to? So if there's a kid on Notre Dame that's that parents live in New Jersey, they're going to fly across the country to see their team, their son play in the middle of COVID and sit in an airport and fly in a plane and go someplace where they might not do it. Like half of them might say, no, I'm not going to take that kind of a chance. What if they have a parent that's in their 60s or 70s or as a cancer survivor, has underlying conditions that normally would go to a game but can't go because of the pandemic? And now you're not going to play for a national championship after all these kids went through? Taking tests and practicing under these conditions and playing under these conditions. That's the hill you're going to die on?
It's very strange. So in order for there to be parents there too, now that things are, by the way, are these people aware that COVID is worse now than it's ever been? I guess they just don't pay attention. They don't care.
I was having a conversation with a neighbor when I was shoveling. And again, I'm going to get in trouble. But at what point do you not see the reality of this thing? Do you think the numbers are being made up?
Well, what did the neighbor say?
Well, no, he was like, that's what we were talking about. He wasn't disagreeing with me. He's just like, I just can't believe that there are still people out there that aren't taking this seriously. There are still people out there that think this is a hoax when 309,000 people have died in this country. And if you want to tell me that some of those people were going to die anyway, that they were in their 90s, that they in some fugazi way put down COVID instead of the real reason they died. How many people do you think that is? Let's say it's 100,000. That's still 200,000 people that have died from this. And it's not going away. It's not like the flu. Oh, it's flu season. No, it sounds like COVID season's 24/7, brother. It's a season that never ends.
It's wild. Now, speaking of which, our very own, a friend of the show, Scott Van Pelt, announced he has COVID-19, so he'll be off for a little while. Said he's doing okay, but lost his sense of smell and taste, which is why he got tested and tested positive. Also, Al Michaels is going to be unavailable this week because of COVID-19 protocols. But if we're going to talk about that, then we might as well do it, Don, inside of your Week 15 NFL announcer lineup. You know how they say you've been waiting all week for Sunday night?
Yeah.
Which we believe is fugazi, because honestly, who's waiting all week for Sunday night? People are waiting all week for Friday night, just so they could find out who's going to call their games on Sunday night.
That's right.
Well, glad you're here for it. We'll start off, Don, Saturday.
Yes.
That's right. You have the 4:30 kick, the Buffalo Bills at the Denver Broncos. That would be your NFL Network special. By the way, it's most helpful weeks like this, Don, where the schedule's weird. You don't know where games are being played, where you even find a game. Saturday, 4:30, NFL Network, your announcers. Adam Amin, play-by-play. Mark Schlereth, analyst. And do not approach her and bother her in the hotel lobby. Lindsay Zarniak, your sideline reporter.
Do you know there might be people listening that had no idea there was a game at 4:30 on Saturday? You just did a service.
Well, I'm not done doing service for people, Don, because there's a game Saturday night at 8:15. That's right, baby. Your Saturday evening, there's not just a Canelo fight. There's also a football game, another sort of heavyweight bout. This time it's the Carolina Panthers and the Green Bay Packers, also on the NFL Network. Now, this one is your NBC team. It was going to be Mike Tirico. However, Mike Tirico is out. He's been moved to Sunday because of the Al Michaels news we'll get to in a second. He'll be replaced by Joe Davis on play-by-play and joined by Kurt Warner and the lovely Melissa Stark on the sideline. Now, that takes us to the Al Michaels situation. And apparently he does not have COVID, but it's a protocol issue. We do not know the exact details of. but he will not be able to perform on Sunday night. He's 76 years old, of course. It's Cleveland at the Giants this Sunday. And NBC announced, without specifics, that Michaels was pulled, and the exact wording was that he missed the game, quote, in accordance with NBC Universal COVID-19 safety protocols. The question I ask you, Don, Al Michaels has sort of been notoriously critical of these COVID protocols. Do you think this is simple as they were asking him to do something he didn't want to do?
No. I don't know, but I would think it might have just been maybe he missed the test.
Mm.
Or there was something that he was supposed to do that he did not do, not because he didn't believe in it or thinks it's a hoax or anything.
Or maybe he came into contact and wasn't supposed to.
Somebody in his family might have it, but it just might have came down to, in order for you to do the game, you have to have a number of negative tests, and maybe a test was missed or a test came back inconclusive, and there's just not enough time for those tests to be taken. I don't know.
So either way, it'll mean Joe Davis in for that Panthers-Packers game Saturday night. Tirico will move to the Giants game on Sunday. We'll go to Sunday, 1 o'clock, CBS, Patriots and the Dolphins. You hear about a Patriots-Dolphins game. Don, you know who's on the call for a game like that on CBS.
I would think that would be a little, maybe Ian Eagle.
It would be Ian Fly Like an Eagle,
yes,
on play-by-play.
There's just certain games where you like, that's an Ian game.
That's gotten ugly.
That's right. He'll be joined by Charles Chuck Davis. And, of course, wait for it, the man, the myth, the legend, Evan Washburn.
Your the lobby is report. Bustling. There is an energy here.
Thank you very much. San Francisco at the Cowboys. I have this game, and it is one of the NFC-CBS combos.
Interesting.
You will have the energetic and always excitable Kevin Harlan, your play-by-play.
The guy is drunk.
That's right. Thank you. He'll be joined by Trent Green and Melanie Collins on the sideline. Also, 1 o'clock, CBS, Houston at Indy. Gumbel versus Gumbel. Greg Gumbel, your play-by-play.
Now, SportsCenter with Greg Gumbel.
Rich Gannon, your analyst. And Jay Feely, your reporter. Also CBS, Jacksonville at Baltimore. Andrew, Catalan, play-by-play. James, Jimbo, Lofton. And Sherry or Cherie Burris? I'm not exactly sure. I don't want to mess up her name. What do you think? S-H-E-R-R-E-E. Cherie? Sherry.
I don't know.
Andrew, Sherry. You're the smartest amongst us.
I honestly have no clue. I'm sorry.
I'm going to pronounce it Cherie Burris. She's your sideline reporter. Good luck to her. Detroit at Tennessee, also on CBS. Spiro Dedis, play-by-play. Adam Archuleta, your analyst. Tampa and the Falcons. And by the way, that would be, bring it in, we don't have a sounder for it, but pretend we do, an Incarcerated Bob special. Yes, that's right. I've been told Bob will take the Bucks, giving 5.5 points.
Cool.
Thank you very much. As we continue on, Seattle at Washington. Don, any guesses?
Are we going to get a return of Chris Myers?
No. We have the hardest working man in football, Mr. Kenneth Jonathan Albertus.
Then I usually play ping pong. I've been doing that for the last week or so.
Thank you, Kenny. Jonathan Vilma, your analyst. Sharon Spake, your sideline reporter. Fox, Chicago and Minnesota. And Don, that would be Chris Myers. Play
by play. I have Chris Myers.
Thank you very much.
I have Chris Myers.
That's perfect. Greg Jennings, your analyst. Jennifer Hale, your reporter.
I have Chris Myers.
We'll go to 405. The Jets and the Rams. A game everyone is waiting for with bated breath.
And that game's a CBS game?
This would be a Fox vehicle.
It's Fox, even though the game's in L.A.
I have Chris Myers.
Who do you think they're pulling out for the big Jets-Rams fiasco?
I don't know who's even left.
Yeah, nor would you remember this one. Kevin, pass me the pineapple Kugler.
Oh.
Joined by Brock Ward and Laura Oakman. Philly at Arizona, a game that Andrew will be locked into. Now, this one, also a Fox vehicle, and your lead announcer would be Brandon Gowden.
I'm not familiar with his work at all.
And this is incredible. The analyst also Brock Ward.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's doing both.
Brock Heward, is it both places?
Brock Heward is not only doing the Jets-Rams at 4:05, he's also doing the Eagles-Cardinals at 4:05.
Both!
Your sideline reporter, Sarah Walsh. It takes us to 4:25, and this is the big daddy.
Yeah, this is the granddaddy of them all.
You know who has this game. It's Sunday. It's 4:25.
Oh, yeah.
You've turned on CBS. You see Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes up against Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, and there's only one voice to greet you when you arrive, and that sound, of course, is...
Hello, Fritz.
Jim Nance and the $18 million man, Anthony Tony Romo.
Catch.
They'll be joined by the great Tracy Wolfson on the sideline. It brings us to the 8:20 Cleveland, New York football game. As I told you earlier, Michael's out, Tirico in. Of course, he'll be joined by the great Chris Collinsworth.
Here's a guy.
Sorry?
Here's a guy.
And the also great Michelle Tafoya. If you're interested in the Spanish play-by-play, that would be Edgar Lopez, Rene Giraldo, and Veronica Contreras. Monday Night Football. We have the Steelers and the Bengals. That's right. ESPN will bring it to you. Steve Levy, play-by-play.
Brian, I think my colleagues like me.
Brian Greasy. I didn't know we had Steve Levy audio. I'm sorry. Brian Greasy, your analyst, and his sound-alikey, Louis Riddick, also there. And Lisa Salters, of course, on the sideline. Yeah. ESPN Deportes, Eduardo Varela, and Pablo Viregua. Your analyst, and that is your Sunday NFL announcer lineup. Wow.
See, that's the game that really hurts Cleveland's chances of winning the division. I don't see, as poorly as Pittsburgh is playing, them losing to Cincinnati.
No, that's a get-off-the-schneid kind
of
vehicle.
Yeah, that's we're getting our 12th win. We're clinching our division title. That's what that is.
I just can't, the one thing I'm excited to see is Brock Heward. And I can never – by the way, can just say his name again, Don.
Brock Heward.
Brock Heward.
Yeah.
And I remember him as a player.
Wait a minute. So all those times that you've been saying hard, that's not on purpose?
No, I can't read – I remember him as a player, but when I read his name, I cannot say it.
Like, I thought you were just doing the thing that you do when you say Shannon Spake or like,
right.
But you
every
actually,
other
I thought.
But you're actually saying Brock Hard, like –
Brock Heward. Like, Heward. Now, I know that's not right, so you're right. I'm overdoing it intentionally,
right.
But it comes from not knowing.
But
I'm not going
to
sit here and lie to you.
Where you're going to try to correct it.
No.
Find out what the real answer is.
If I was a fraud, I'd say, Andrew, shut up. Of course I'm joking. No. I'm overdoing it because I cannot pronounce it. Hold on. Brock Heward.
No.
Hold on. Brock Heward.
No, it's still not right.
Brock Heward.
Brock Heward.
Brock Heward.
Yeah.
Like cured, but with an H.
Yeah.
Andrew, is that what you would do it? You would go with that?
Yeah, Brock Heward. Yeah.
Cured.
Yeah.
So it's cured, C-U-R-E-D with an H. Brock Heward.
Right. It's not any of the things you've said.
Brock Heward. That'll do it for ENN on
this.
That
could be the last drop
Friday.
RJ ever gets. That last attempt could be the last RJ drop acquisition.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.